Hey, this is Jay Young with King Operating. Have you ever considered paying less money in taxes? Would you like to do what the wealthy do and invest in oil and gas? Go on our website, kingoperating.com, and get my book about our model, ADD, Acquire, Develop, and Divest, or call our number 214-420-3000 to talk to somebody today about investing in oil and gas and saving money on your taxes.
The Jay Young Show is a weekly podcast featuring insightful discussions with anyone from big business CEOs, celebrities, to military heroes. Each interview is a personal conversation about business, life, and anything in between. And now, your host, Jay Young.
Welcome to the Jay Young Show again, and I tell you, I'm really privileged this week, especially with the current events going on, that we've got somebody very special, Larry Bankston Jr., who for 17 years was a member of the Dallas Police Department and brings a lot of perspective in. He wrote a big article, and he's just a really fabulous guy to talk to about the current events. And we were having some really good discussions, you know, prior to this, and I hope we can bring it back, Larry, and talk about it. But if you don't mind, Larry, hey, well, thanks for being on the show first. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. And two, we always like to start out, we're going to dig into some of this, you know, Black Lives Matters, and we're going to talk about all this stuff, which is very emotional, and there's a lot of tension right now in the world. We are going to get into that. But first off, kind of tell me about you and kind of where you grew up, and tell us a little about your childhood.
I was actually born in Pine Bluff, Arkansas, and I still have a lot of family there. My grandmother's still there, and my aunts and uncles. But my parents, they were divorced and remarried. And my mom, my stepfather moved to Illinois, and my dad and stepmom. I don't look like using stepmom because I have two moms. I love her just like I love my biological mother.
There you go.
But
there you
go. They moved to Kansas City, Missouri when I was young. So that explains why I'm such a huge Chief fan. but anyway, so I grew up between Kansas City, Missouri, and Bolingbrook, Illinois. And I like mentioning both places because I believe that the diversity that I experienced mainly in Bolingbrook, and then what I experienced in Kansas City, Missouri, created who I am today. And you'll see why I bring that up later on in the conversation.
Yeah. Okay, good. Well, you know, so right now, so you grew up and you were in high school, and then what did you do? Did you go to college or okay, so where did you go to college?
My first year of college, I went to Lindenwood in St. Charles, Missouri, and played football there. And the reason why I went there, I was originally supposed to go to University of Arkansas, Pine Bluff, and play football. But they did some illegal recruiting or something like that and got in trouble, got the death penalty for a few years. So I went to Lindenwood College, and then I ended up transferring from there, going to Lincoln University in Jeff City, Missouri. Then I finally made it to University of Arkansas, Pine Bluff, to play football. And that's where my college academia career ended, was there in Arkansas. Because like I said, all my family, my grandfather taught at the college, my sisters went there, my parents went there, step-parents, aunts, uncles. It's a historically Black college, and we have a lot of history there. We have a scholarship fund, the whole nine. So,
gotcha.
You know, yeah.
So what happened after college? What did you do after college?
After college, I worked for Boeing for a little while. Let me back up. I worked for Delphi in Missouri. Got laid off there. didn't like how things were going in Missouri for a multitude of reasons, and ended up moving to Dallas. And I liked Dallas when I came here. Worked for Boeing. And then after 9/11, everybody from Boeing got laid off. Mm-hmm. So ended up meeting my wife. Well, she's my ex-wife now, but I met her, we moved back to Kansas City, and then came back here to Dallas and I sold cars for a little bit. I hated that, but I prayed about where I was supposed to be, basically. And God kept directing me to police officer, to make a long story short. And actually, I was fighting it. I didn't want to be a police officer. Mm-hmm. And one day, I finally just gave into it and said, you know, let me check this out. Because I got laid off. Like I said, I got laid off from Boeing after 9/11. I think 9/11 shook up everybody. Every American was shook up after 9/11. So it made me look at being a police officer a whole lot more seriously. And I got accepted 17 years ago, went through the academy. And it's had its ups and downs, but I definitely see why God put me in this area. I definitely see why today I was meant to be a police officer. So I was right. Definitely ordained to do this.
Wow. Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. Hey, so what position did you play in football?
I was a free safety. I couldn't play today's game because I was a headhunter.
I'll tell you what, I mean, for somebody – free safety like Bill Bates or those Cliff Harris's or, I mean, those kind of guys, you got to run fast and your open tackles are unbelievable. So right. Man, that's great. That's great for you to do that. But anyway, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to get off the subject a little bit, but
that's okay.
Yeah. I wanted to make sure I asked that because you look like a fast, quick guy. And I was wondering where you stood in that.
Yeah. I ran a 4.38 40.
Did you really? Oh man.
Yeah, really.
Yeah. Larry, we saw what happened to George Floyd and the brutality of it. How has that impacted you as a person and also as an officer? How has that affected you?
It was very emotional for me to, far as to like I said, to see him die the way he did. His death has been very impactful. I get that, but it hurt to watch him die the way he did. He didn't even have the opportunity to die with honor. He was begging for his life. And for me as a black man, just take the policeman out of it. And we think about the history of our country, lynchings, mobs doing things to black people just because they were angry about whatever. To watch that happen, the way he did it, it was very hard. It made me very angry. And as far as a police officer, it was very disappointing to see another officer in blue treat a human being that way. I don't care what color he was. But to treat a human being that way for whatever was going on in your head was just evil, yeah. In my opinion. Yeah. And it was embarrassing as a police officer to see another police officer do that. And he was training two other officers that had only been on the force for 4 days. And right now I feel very bad for those officers because from what I'm hearing, they were questioning what he was doing, but they had to follow commands because if they don't pass training, they don't get the job. So they're trying to get the job and not understanding what's happening. Officer Chauvin was on the major organ, which was the carotid arteries of the neck. So I don't know what the training officers were thinking, but I would assume they were thinking, well, he must be seeing something we're not seeing to keep doing this, but something's not right. And they were saying something's not right with this, but he told them to stay there. So that makes him even more of a bad person, in my opinion. And it really bothers me that he's caused all this to happen in this country.
Right. Right. Wow. That is. So tell me what all about the Black Lives Matter. I mean, you see it on the streets in D.C., Washington, D.C. You see it there. What does it mean? What does it, I guess, what does it really mean?
Initially, as a police officer, when I saw Black Lives Matter, I'm like, wait a minute, bad policing affects everybody. I even had that mindset. But now, before this happened, I looked at it differently. Because when you have conversations and people don't understand the perspective, like I said, the perspective of the black community, where they feel like their lives are not as valuable as other American lives, then you have to say to yourself, does a black person life, does their life have value? So the slogan means I value your life as a Black person. It doesn't mean that you're supporting the Black Lives organization. I don't even know what that is. I mean, I've heard so many theories and conspiracies about who's supporting the Black Lives Matter organization. I don't care about that. I value Black lives. So I think that there's a lot of people out there that feel the same way I do. They value Black lives, but they don't support the Black Lives Matters organization.
So it's an organization. Black Lives, is that its own group? Has its own followers?
I believe that the funding is coming from somewhere that I don't fund it. I have no idea where the funding is coming from. But my perspective, I'm just going to say this because I don't want to speak on something I don't know anything about. But my perspective is a lot of people are saying, I value Black lives. That's what they're trying to say. But it's easy to say Black Lives Matter.
Yeah.
And I don't like when, I mean, if we're going to go a little bit further with this, when we countered, when I say we, I'm talking about police officers, and we said, well, Blue Lives Matter. Blue lives have always mattered. That was immature to say that, in my opinion. Yeah. Our peace can't be breached. We're supposed to be protecting and serving our communities. Let's just do that. We know our communities support us when we're doing the right thing. They do. So just understand that we value Black lives.
So yeah. What's it been like for you protecting the Dallas people right now from the protesters? And where do you think all this? Well, number one, you know, you have protesters and you have looters,
right?
You know, and people that want to cause this. I'm not saying you're going to be in favor of people throwing bricks through windows and things of that nature, but why are people doing this? Why is it such an outrage right now? What's going on in the and all the communities? I mean, it's not just the Dallas, right? It's like 25 different cities around the country.
Well, to be honest, in my opinion, I think you have your protesters that genuinely want change. And they're coming in all from all groups. And then you have people that just want to cause chaos. They want to cause anarchy. They just want to destroy stuff. They're rebelling. And then looters, I believe that looters come from people that come from areas where they don't have very much economic growth. They don't have, essentially poor people. So it doesn't make it right, but they're trying to get things that, they're taking advantage of the opportunity to get things that they can't buy. Mm-hmm. And it's not right. I don't approve of it. I think it's 100% wrong and it's counterproductive. That's the way I look at it.
Yeah. Well, you had some people in Oakland, California last week busting into a Mercedes-Benz dealership. I mean, they're just catching things on fire. I mean, that's just – I mean, you kind of go back, and I do want to bring this up about the Colin Kaepernick, you know, kneeling while the national anthem, which people are coming back now, even the NFL are saying, wow, wait a minute. Maybe there is something to this, right? Maybe there is something to, you know, respecting, you know, this and allowing people to do that. What are your thoughts about Colin Kaepernick and what did you follow him then? And
yes.
did you see a big, I mean, I know that, you know, it's like you have to go one way or the other and people weren't really sure how to take it because are you disrespecting the flag? But all you're doing is people are trying to respect you and the Black community and saying,
right.
Hey man, it's just trying to put it out there, which I think is a great idea. I mean, at first you're kind of like going, well, you disrespect, has nothing to do with disrespecting the flag.
Right. I never found it to be disrespectful to the flag because the person that told him to do it was a military guy. Don't know his name right offhand, but the guy that told him to take a knee told him it was disrespectful to sit down during the national anthem, take a knee.
Yeah.
And now we got to think about us as Americans. I don't come at this stuff from any political stands. I'm just talking about us as Americans. The Constitution says we have a right to peacefully protest. He was peacefully protesting something for a group of Americans that were having an issue. That is having an issue with the system. We have biases. We all have biases. Now, the biases that some of the police officers are having towards the Black community are negative, and it's caused problems for years now. I think this is the first time in history where I think I've known everyone to come together and say, okay, enough is enough. This is wrong. But far as the protesting, it wasn't a protest against the flag at all. It was just to say, look, can you guys help us with this situation? Can we come up with something to stop the unjust killings of Black Americans in this country? And not just the killings. I mean, even the sentencings of some criminals, the disparities have been very different. You may get, they've done studies where they've shown that a Black kid that committed the same crime as a white kid gets a higher sentence than the white kid. And when you start doing those kind of things, it causes a lot of separation in our country. And those are the kind of things that, to me, as a whole, that we need to look at. We need to look at all of it and say, okay, why is this happening? What do we need to do to stop it? What do we need to do to stop our kids from getting in trouble, period? Not just stop them from being, the sentencing being different, but what do we need to do to stop our children, our American children, from getting in trouble, period? What do police officers need to do? How do we need to police in these communities to take pride in our communities that we're patrolling to help those communities grow in a more positive direction? What incentives can be given to the officers to help them look at their communities the way they look at their favorite NFL team? What can we do to make that happen?
And you wrote an article about this same thing in an article about NFL's Black issue, right?
Exactly.
Is this the same points that you – what were the big three takeaways from your article that you wrote?
Well, I wanted the NFL to recognize how big of a company it is. How the NFL is huge. You know, it is so influential. And I don't think that it would have hurt the NFL in any way to say, okay, our main product, which is the Black athlete, the spectacle of the Black athlete has brought the NFL where it is today. Those athletes, their communities, where you're getting these athletes from, are having an issue that they're expressing to us. What do we need to do to help fix that issue? And with the NFL having the influence that it has, I just didn't understand why couldn't they just say, okay, there's enough people saying this is an issue. So why can't we create some sort of forums using our influence, our stadiums, to create unity projects where we bring all people together to discuss these problems and try to reduce the percentages of unjust treatment for this community?
I got you.
Yeah, that's it. It was very simple.
And it's not like you're trying to say, hey, you know, we're the best and we're trying to separate ourselves. What you're trying to do is you're trying to allow, you know, whites and blacks and browns and everybody to be one person.
Yes. Because we're all Americans. And I think that's where we're missing the mark. We're all crowding the keyhole. Like, why are we doing that? I mean, it just doesn't make any sense. I mean, it's like people automatically assume that you're against their team in America if you don't agree with something the way they look at it. But are you taking the time out to listen to why they are feeling the way they're feeling? With right. my, you know, I have a bunch of friends that are I hate bringing politics into this, but I have to because it plays such a big role. So I have a lot of friends that are Trump supporters. I have a lot of friends that hate Trump. I just happen to be one of those guys that's built where I listen to both sides and say, well, how can we find a happy medium? Because ultimately, we all want the same thing. Ultimately, we all want to enjoy the American dream and to be able to feed our kids without, in our families, without problems. We want to be able to go on family vacations. We all want that. And if you have any kind of suggestions that can help this poor community grow economically, I believe that could not just grow economically, just help them understand their constitutional rights. Now, one of the things that I always say to Black communities, you don't see a lot of the same problems. Like criminals go and they terrorize poor communities. They steal from each other, they kill each other, the whole nine. But if those same communities learned how to exercise their Second Amendment rights, would that happen? If they started policing their own communities first, and we as police officers help them say, hey, you have a constitutional right to protect your property and your people. I'm not advocating going out blowing people away, but what I am saying is there's a reason why people don't go into white communities in America, especially in the South, as quick as they will go into a minority community and steal and commit crimes. And the reason why that is, let's just be real, white people will blow you away.
Yeah.
They will.
Yeah.
They will exercise their Second Amendment right first and then call us. And it's just the truth.
Right.
It's the truth.
Right. So tell me, you said something about you have people that support Trump and friends of yours that support and don't. So what's your opinion about this Candace Owens? She went viral. Videos went viral not long ago.
I think that she was 100% wrong for what she did. I mean, some of her points are great. Some of the points she makes, she's spot on. But to attack this man's character after he's been killed the way he was killed, that was so disrespectful to his family.
Mm.
No one said that this man was a pillar of society for the Black community. Not one person that I know ever said that. I've never heard it. I've never heard anyone say that. And that was the whole, her whole stance on that was saying, this guy is not my hero. He's not mine either. But what I'm saying is, I don't care if he was a Trump supporting or a Democratic supporting person or whatever the case may be, how he was killed was wrong. We don't want Americans being killed like that by the people that are supposed to protect us. That's the bottom line. Right. And to address it that way, knowing that his family and friends are listening, that was so disrespectful. And I don't agree with it.
Yeah, yeah. How much of this do you think will play into the upcoming presidential election?
Oh, man. You know, I just hope we get it together. I know this. All this is going to be a big part of the election. And I wish that it does. I wish that everybody would just say, OK, look, it doesn't matter who we support. I don't think God looks at us as Democrats and Republicans. I don't think he looks at us as Black and white.
Right.
I think he looks at us like, look at these idiots. They can't get it together. I created all of them.
Right.
You know what I mean? And
yeah.
So at what point did we just say that was wrong? Simply, it was simply wrong. And just leave it at that. We don't want that. I just know how I am. I grew up where if we had a problem with each other, if the guys had a problem with each other, we call it taking it to the grass. We'll fight it out or we'll talk it out, whatever the case may be. But I'm not about to mistreat anyone because of my views or anything like that. And I'm just not understanding this tribal mentality that we're having in this country. I just believe that it needs to stop.
Yeah.
At some point, it just has to stop. Wrong is wrong. Right is right. Who cares what your political views are? I don't care.
Yeah, I mean, yesterday, Sunday, Reverend Jack Graham, you know, President Wood Baptist, he goes, you know what? He said, there's only 7.5 pounds for each person, which is their color of their skin. And he goes, right. If you just take that off or paint it the same color or whatever, I mean, we're all human. We're all God's children. We're all here for one reason, and that is to, you know, better ourselves, better other people, and to, you know, obviously, you know, it's all about God. And it's about Jesus. So I thought that was pretty good. The 7.5 pounds, which is your skin on each person, right. You know, and the color. So I thought that was pretty good. So right. What do you think your any big changes this year in the NFL when they play football games? What do you think is going to happen?
I think at this point, it's kind of the writing's on the wall. All these companies saying, you know what? You know, we have to support the concerns of the Black community right now. And the people are speaking. So I think that the NFL is going to take a stance on that. I mean, I don't know how it's going to go over. It would be nice if everybody says, I understand. Yeah. It would be nice. That happening is probably not going to happen, but I think that's what's going to be the position of the NFL, because they're saying we got it wrong. And I'm no genius, but I am one of those people where when I hear that little voice speaking to me, I act on it. So back then, I really wished that someone would have listened to this little old senior corporal over here saying, hey, let's get ahead of this. Let's get ahead of the curve on this instead of letting this simmer. Because I actually told officers at work, this is going to eventually explode if we don't do something about this. And I told them, if I'm not on a call, someone like me, because officer's presence is not just for citizens. You know, like they say, officer presence in front of a business so that people with bad intentions don't come to that business and try to do bad things, right? Mm-hmm. Well, if there's an officer with bad intentions and he just want to mistreat people for whatever reasons, if I'm standing there, for sure, they know me, it's not going to happen. If certain officers are standing there, even some of our white officers, if they're standing there, someone with bad intentions, because they know their mindset, they're not going to do bad things. But officers that are quiet and they see some officers mistreating people, they need to snatch them up, because it's essentially that is a ticking time bomb that is going to cause a situation that we're dealing with now.
Right.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that doesn't do us any good. It hurts the whole country. One person can hurt this whole country by doing something really stupid. A police officer can.
Yeah.
And we can't have that. But we can't go to an extreme where we start talking about defunding police departments, because, like I said, that's not going to do anything but hurt the poor communities, especially the poor communities. You got to think about here in Dallas, I think it's Highland Park and University Park have their own police departments because they can afford it, right? Mm-hmm. So if we start doing those things, your good officers are going to go where the money is. They're going to say, forget this. I'm just going to go, they're going to pay me over here.
Yeah.
But then you're going to have poor communities suffering. So we don't want that either. We don't want that for our country, because even if we allow those poor communities to suffer, eventually that suffering is going to be on the doorstep of every American in this country, yeah. Some kind of way.
Yeah. Wow. That's amazing. That's a really good thought. That's a good thought. It reminds me of Marcus Spears, a good friend of mine. Marcus, he was being interviewed on probably his show, ESPN show, Get Up, on Tuesday to Friday mornings. And he was talking, and his son, 11-year-old junior, Marcus Spears Jr., asked him, said, Dad, why didn't he just get off his neck?
Right.
You know, it's just, why didn't he just get off his neck? And it's like, man, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't know what was going through that guy's mind, why he was on there for so long, and why did he have to go there, you know, and take it that far from something that was obviously, I mean, it was not a good situation, but I really, it's affecting 11-year-olds, you know, Spears Jr.'s 11 years old,
right,
and asking him and then seeing all of this and everything. Where is this going to take the, well, if you're talking to people, you're talking to young kids right now, I mean, you're a pillar of the community, Dallas, you know, corporal and all, what do you tell people?
That we are fighting. We are fighting on the inside. And I don't mean just black officers. I mean, there are white officers fighting just as hard to get just treatment of all people just as hard as I am and other black officers. So you have to understand that, and I know people are tired of hearing this, but it is the truth. We are human. And in every bunch, every group, there are going to be some bad apples. So in this police group, this law enforcement group that I am nationally a part of, we're going to have some bad apples. And sometimes a bad apple is so loud, the scent of it is so loud, you think it's coming from the good apples, but it's not true. So we're going to have to start working together to sort this out. It's gonna take a group effort. And that's one of the things another thing that I tell people is that we allow the people up top. Well, I'm gonna use the term up top just for lack of a word, to make our laws and policies and rules when it comes to how we deal with each other. And maybe we should stop looking at it that way. And when I say we deal with each other, I'm talking about boots on the ground. So Jay, you know, you're a boot on the ground. I'm a boot on the ground. The likelihood of you getting stopped by an officer and having to deal with an officer leaving work or something like that, it's pretty high. It's not as high as someone that lives in a poor community where you got all these different crimes going on. So you got to stop and do traffic stops and all these different things to try to reduce the crime, to try to find out if this person belongs in this area or doesn't belong in this area. If this person is over here burglarizing this area or something like that. There's a lot of tactics that we have to use as police officers to figure out crime, right? So the point that I'm making is that we come in contact with a lot of citizens. So the officer and the citizens that are coming in contact with each other need to be the ones that come together and say, hey, what can we do to make life less stressful for one another? What can we do?
Mm-hmm.
Why are we allowing them to dictate how we work together? They're not down here with us. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I would love to be a millionaire, but I'm not. But if I was a millionaire, the likelihood of me dealing with officers on a daily or weekly basis, very, very slim. Yeah. Very slim.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to be somewhere relaxing. You get what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, let me ask you this, and we're getting ready to we have run out of time, but I want to ask you one good question here. And what would you tell a 17-year-old, 18-year-old Larry? Is there anything different that you would tell?
Yeah, I hated school growing up. I was a smart guy, but I didn't like school. Didn't like it because it wasn't what I was interested in. I was interested in girls. I was interested in playing football and running track and hanging out with my friends. I would have put a lot more emphasis on educating myself on everything, the world, the whole nine. And if me being in the place that I am today, maybe I would be a chief instead of a senior corporal. And maybe I can help make some of the changes that need to be made if I was further along as far as my academic career. You get what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
So, because that's one of the things that we're needing as well. We're needing more people with a diverse mindset to apply for the position of police officer. If you want to change this culture, you got to get people with a diverse mindset to apply for the position. But if you're not qualified for the position, we can't have you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
now, today there's so many different people now that have high school diplomas and have college degrees that maybe it's an MBA program or an executive MBA or something. You're saying you would not only have gotten better grades in high school and college, but you might have gone to get a different level degree or
right.
In other words, education matters.
It matters. It matters.
But when you're our age, it matters. I mean, it matters what not only what you did, you know, and got your degree, but where you took it from there. But it's also a good place to go. And, you know, college or education is always, you know, you can't beat it.
Right.
It's better than the alternative. And the alternative is, you know, flunking out or not finishing high school or not finishing college or something right. like that. So I thought you might have mentioned something about, you know, not playing in the NFL or not. There's something, because I always tell people, you know, hey, you know, for me, you know, I jumped 7 foot. I was a high jumper and I jumped 7
oh, wow.
in practice.
That's great.
Like, you know, and then I quit.
Yeah.
I mean, I jumped 6'6" in high school, 6'10" in college, and I jumped 7. But then I quit. And that's right. one of my biggest regrets is that I didn't have a coach pushing me or a parents pushing me or right. in, or somebody, myself, being self-motivated to see, hey, man, what could I have done if I'd have really, you know, dug in and done that? But, man, you being, what'd you say, 4'3", 40?
Yeah, 4'3", 8.
Oh, yeah. Man, dude, that's something. That's out there. So
I had opportunities to go into the NFL. It's just that I had a kid early. I was 18, had a kid, and I was going to combines and stuff like that. And I went to one combine, and it was so political that it took my zeal away from the game.
Oh, wow.
But I went to one combine, and one of the reporters asked my son, who was his favorite player, and he was like, my dad. And I was like, you know what? I'm good. I'm done with this. I don't want to be bounced around anymore. That's all I needed to know, was that he noticed that his dad was a good athlete. And then I realized that I needed to get on a job and get some tenure, because to keep chasing that dream was going to hurt him. So I had to stop
yeah.
with that.
Yeah.
But one thing I wanted to say before I want your viewers and even you to hear this. When I was young in Bolingbrook, Illinois, my mother sent me to the store. And I want you to understand, there's a lot of police officers with different stories on why they became police officers before I say this. And when she sent me to the store, I was walking past, you remember those old newspaper boxes where you put the coins in and you get the, okay, well, so I guess some kids had smashed blackberries all over that newspaper box. Mm. And I was like 11 years old. And this white police officer pulls up and says, hey, did you do that? And I was like, no, I didn't do that, you know. And he gets out his car and he had nunchucks. I remember he had nunchucks. I was like, why does he have nunchucks? And I actually asked him, I was like, why do you have those nunchucks in your hand? And he was like, to bust your effing head open.
Oh, he my God.
And I was like, what? I'm 11 years old. And so I guess once again, it was God protecting me. I was like, man, I'm not cleaning that box. And I kept walking, and he didn't touch me. But I told my mother, and she wouldn't complain. But you have to think about how many stories there are out. That's just one story.
Yeah.
I've seen police officers do some horrible things to, I don't know if they were doing them to white children, but I definitely know they were doing them to black children. So think about the perspective that they get, that gives a black person growing up to be an adult on how they look at police officers. That's just one story that I'm telling. There's a lot of stories out there that I want people to listen to and understand why the black community feels the way they do. If you have those kind of things happening, those officers are perpetuating a perspective that is negative for this country, and that has to stop. And that's one of the reasons why that community as a whole feels the way they do. That's just, and I'm talking about, that was very minor what happened to me. You've had people, that's why we have so many people being exonerated today, because officers just arrested just this random black person. He fits a description, snatch him up, throw him in jail, and then they find out that they didn't do it, and they let him free, but 25 years or more of their life is gone.
Yeah.
I mean, think about if that was happening to any other group in this country, how you would feel and how you would look at the people that are doing it to you.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why I'm saying, like, try to keep politics out of this. I want you to see the perspective of the things that have happened that has caused us to boil over to this point. George Floyd was just the tipping point. And everyone saw it. The whole world saw it. Mother saw it. I can't even watch that whole video because it makes me too emotional, because that man didn't even die with honor. He died yelling for his mother, a big grown man. I can imagine dying like that. I'm gonna die on my shield. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I just can't even watch that video. It's just too emotional for me.
Right.
But I don't care what your political stance is. I want you to understand the perspective of that community. That's it.
Yeah. No, that's great. That's great. And I think it's unfortunately he had to die for it to get to this point to where, you know, the NFL is going, well, maybe that wasn't a bad thing that people kneeled during the night. I mean, it's unfortunate it did, but, you know, it's going to be in his honor that a lot of people will be doing a lot of different things in the future to make sure that they do respect. I don't say do respect the black community, but they've just put them as an equal along with everybody else. Hey, it's only 7.5 pounds of flesh. That's it. It's all between everybody. So, man, let's pray together and let's all just come together and do that. And like I said, unfortunately that, you know, he had to pass away for that, but it's going to be in his honor that we move forward and we all come together and hug and kiss and love each other, and, you know, pray together and just be a better community, which is what I'm really looking forward to. So,
Right.
That's great. That's great.
Right.
And I tell you what, it's been a great pleasure having you on the show. I mean, it's opened my mind for a couple of things, and I've enjoyed you, Larry, coming on and giving us your feelings, and I'm hoping that a lot of the people out there understand where we're going with this life and where, you know, we're all equal, and it's only 7.5 pounds of flesh that, you know, that's tells you what color you are. Other than that, man, we're all human, you know, we're all human. And we all need to work together instead of working against each other. Just something too. So, but Larry, thanks. Any last little comments before?
I'm very thankful for you to have me on the show, and that you kept an open mind the whole time, and I thank you for that. And I hope that everyone understands that. Just keep an open mind on this. On everything that happened, just keep an open mind, because I believe that we could do great historical things together, but we're going to have to really look at the concerns of all Americans, even understand the history of each American group in this country and why they feel the way they feel. There are so many stories that we could have discussed about what causes the black community to have this distrust towards police and even some white communities. But I believe that there is so many misunderstandings, because no one's having that uncomfortable conversation to come to comfortable solutions. In order for you to get blessed, you got to get uncomfortable. If you're working out, it's going to be very, very uncomfortable for you to get ripped up, because you got to eat right. You got to be committed to the workout, and you got to do it for a long amount of time, but the reward is going to be great.
Yeah.
So that's where I hope we can get as a country.
Yeah, exactly. We have a long way to go, but I think there's some important steps that will be taken now that, you know, this summer and with the NFL, NBA, I mean, I think in any sport, you're going to see a big change, you know, moving forward. And I just pray that everybody sees the opportunity there for us all to work together, you know, going forward. So,
and that's the patriotic thing to do, to work together. That is it. That's and I believe we all will stand up. Once we do that, we will all stand up.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Larry, thank you very much for being on.
Thank you.
Appreciate you. And thanks for your service. I mean,
thank you.
Being out there protecting me and my family. Thank you very much for doing that. I appreciate you being on. I'd love to have you on again.
Love to be.
Sometime in the next 3 months, 6 months, or nine, just to kind of get an update of how we're doing and what we can do and how I can help get the word out.
Okay. All right. I appreciate that. Thank you.
All right. Absolutely. Have a great day. Thank you very much.
All right. You too, Jay.
Thank you.